Good morning again. I'm looking forward to this opportunity this week of dealing with church history. Normally, I am here to lecture on missiology, missions, and missions history. I received my doctorate in missions, missiology, because that is my full-time occupation for the last 35 years. But history is my second greatest interest. And I have always loved reading history books and traveling around the world. I not only have visited as many museums and monuments and battle sites and historic centers as I possibly can, but I've also acquired history books from all over. And at this moment, I'm working on a book to be a textbook for Bible cultures called A Christian History of Africa, which spans the 2,000 years. And that's a major project, but it's not finished yet. I've got a lot still to do on it. But what you have here in this church history manual, to say a few words first, is first of all, the first chapter is a race through a quick overview of the 2,000 years of church history. And that's very important that we know some key dates, some key names, some key publications. You'll notice how it works, this overview of church history, that I put important things in bold. I put any publication in italics, because we must know the books. And then at the end of each section, such as the early church or middle ages, we give a list of names of some of the key, most important names in that era. And it goes through. So you can take a quick glance through the bold to see key events. You can take a quick glance through the key individuals. You can take a quick glance through the italicized to see the key publications, books that have come out. And this is a quick overview. And then we go into greater depth on the 12 apostles and some of the persecuted and on key issues through history, including, of course, the Crusades and Jihad and the Vikings and the Inquisition and slavery. These are issues that are going to come up in your witnessing and your evangelism. Some people have a negative view of history, and that is a pity. We should not have a negative view of church history. History is really important. I'll tell you why in a moment. But you cannot be effective in church work without knowing your history. It is so important to know our past. It's vital when you come to evangelism, when you come to apologetics, when you come to missions, when you come to dealing with any false teaching in a church, because almost everything that you will encounter has already been encountered by previous saints of God. And so if we learn from the past, we will prepare ourselves and equip ourselves for the future. And so, first and foremost, let's consider why we should study history. You don't have notes for this, so if you want, you must write these down. But why should we be studying history? Why is it important to understand the past? History tells us what has worked, and it tells us what has not worked. We need to develop the ability to recognize these lessons in every area of life. There's a lot to learn from history. History can be His story, if we learn it aright. Revelation 11 verse 15 says, "The kingdoms of the world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." All through the Bible you get this theme. Remember the vision of Daniel? Daniel had a vision of the head of gold and the chest of silver and the stomach of bronze and the legs of iron and the feet of iron and clay. And it was revealed to him that this head of gold was the Babylonian Empire. And the chest of silver was the Medo-Persian Empire. And the stomach of bronze was the Greek Empire. And the legs of iron was the Roman Empire, which split into two, east and west. And then the feet of clay and iron represented the divided kingdoms that would flow from that. And he saw a stone that had not been touched by human hands that struck that statue and it crumbled to dust. And the wind blew the dust away. And the stone that the builders rejected as worthless grew to be a mountain that filled the whole earth. And so what he was revealed to in the book of Daniel was God's kingdom will destroy and replace all the empires and kingdoms of this world. And the empires and kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever. Revelation 15 verse 4 says, "All nations will come and worship before you." History is moving towards a climax when the day will come when there will be no more of Allah and Brahma and Krishna or any of these other idols. There will be one God. They will recognize it is Elohim, Yahweh, Jehovah God, the one true God, our Lord Jesus Christ. The longer you look back, the further you can look forward. And so if you want to just be able to plan a few years in the past, you look a few years back. If you want to plan generations in the future, you've got to plan generations back. If you want to think multi-generational in the future, you've got to look back multi-generational. If we do not know our own history, we will simply have to endure all the same mistakes, sacrifices, and absurdities all over again. If you don't learn the lessons of lectures in a college, you fail the exam. You have to go and resit again or go through the year again. And if we don't learn the lessons of history, we have to go through the same cycles over and over until, as a culture, as a people, as a nation, or as a church, we learn the lessons and then we can go forward from first to second grade, second to third grade to fourth grade, and all the way through. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. There are a lot of bad things that have happened in history, and they will happen again if we don't learn the lessons of why they happened and how we can prevent those things. To be ignorant of what's happened before you were born is to remain a child forever. Children don't know what happened before they were born. I remember one of my little children saying to me, "Before we were born, who was our daddy?" And of course, this is the thing, it's hard to imagine anything that's happened before I was born. But as we grow, we need to understand more about our grandparents and what happened before and going further back. It is not the remembered past, it's a forgotten past that enslaves us. And many people say history enslaves people. Only the forgotten past enslaves you. The remembered past can actually free you if you remember it in a right way, in a biblical way, in a providential way. Understanding it in the light of scripture and history, in the light of God's word, not in the light of how the pagans teach it. History is and must ever continue to be, next to God's word, the richest foundation of wisdom and the surest guide to all successful practical activity. History is, next to God's word, most profitable for study. You may not think so now. Maybe you've had bad experience of history at school. A lot of people think history is boring because that boring textbooks, boring subjects at school. And I don't blame you if you think that. Because a lot of what we taught at school is boring and irrelevant and twisted and distorted and selective. A lot of people are so negative to history because of their school experiences. But I hope to show you in these next few days that history can be exciting, relevant, biblical, so helpful, energizing and empowering our witness and our service for God. Histories are a true school for learning how to order our lives, said the great reformer John Calvin. It's a true school for learning how to order our lives. So, what I want to do here is I want to give you a quick overview of 5,000 history years of religion in 90 seconds. Pay close attention. Okay, starting 3000 BC, that's 5,000 years ago, you get the birth of Hinduism, revolving around Krishna, who's kind of father of Hinduism. Hinduism spreads across India, and it goes quite far. But then you get, about 2000 BC, the birth of Abraham. And the Hebrews, the Israelites, begin. And you can see how they grow. And then the destruction of Jerusalem in 588 BC. Now you get, about 480 BC, the birth of Buddhism. And Buddhism grows. And now at about AD 32, our Lord Jesus Christ is crucified and Christianity spreads. Notice how fast it spreads and how it comes into Egypt and goes down the Nile and it spreads. Now, the birth of Muhammad, 570 AD, the spread of Islam by the sword. Fast. They stripped the whole of North Africa, which had been the bastion of Christianity. And they spread throughout the whole of the Middle East, which had been the birthplace of Christianity. And by sword, they wipe out vast sections of the church, even taking Spain and threatening vast amounts of the Byzantine Empire. And so you see, by 1000, you can see a tremendous spread of Islam. But now watch what happens as we approach the greatest century of missions. In the 19th century, you will see phenomenal expansion of Christianity as William Carey launches the modern missionary movement and see the spread of Christianity worldwide. Phenomenal. Okay, was that a bit fast? Let's go over it again. Okay, so you can see Just look at that. Spread of Islam, the retreat of Christianity, but then from the Reformation, wham, Christianity spreads and covers the globe. That's a quick overview of the spread of the four main religions in the world: Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, and Christianity.